Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All three of our texts today center around movement from death to life. It's not the customary direction for human beings. One of my philosophy professors once told me that really, throughout your beginnings until your end, you are moving from life toward death, from beginning to end. But like so much in the gospel, it gets turned on its head in these stories, and there is movement from death to life. The first story is that powerful story of Elijah and the widow. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had the story about how he was hungry and she was hungry, and he came into her home, and they had just a little bit to eat before they died, and he took the meal and the oil, and they made cakes, and there was plenty for days. And it seems like a really good story, sort of a nice Hallmark moment where, you know, the family's snatched from the midst of poverty and everything's going to be okay. And in the next breath, the woman's son is dying from fullness to illness. And as he lies on his deathbed, the widow of Zarephath looks at him and says, "What in the world have I done to deserve this? How have I ticked God off this much that God would take my only son?" We certainly can understand how she feels. Most of us at one time or another in our lives have experienced those same feelings. Even Jesus, as he was there almost to his death, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, lama sabachthani. I experienced it right before I came here. I am not a person who ever gets sick, at least rarely. And the day before my interview with Lutheran Church of Honolulu, I got really sick. It was the first time in my life that I literally begged God to kill me, which is not my bent in general. But I was in so much pain that as we were going to the hospital at 2:30 in the morning on Friday morning, I remember thinking, please, someone run a red light, but just hit my side of the car. And 4 days afterwards, I wondered, even though here I am, the trained theologian, I've spent my life preaching and teaching and living the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have told people for my whole life, God loves you just like you are. You don't have to do anything to please God. God already loves you just exactly how you are. There's nothing you need to do to climb the ladder or good works to receive God's grace. And I laid in that hospital bed thinking to myself, what have I done to tick you off, God? And what can I do to change it? The answer was the same for me as it was for both widows' sons. There was nothing that I did, and there was nothing that I could do. But I couldn't come to that place by myself. My clergy friends came and visited me. And one day I had 9 clergy visits, including my bishop. The poor lady at the desk thought the Pope was dying. Now, no offense against clergy, sorry, Don. But it's our job to come visit you in the hospital. And it's not that we don't care, we do, and we care deeply. But I knew that part of why they were there was because they were my friends, partly because they needed to be there. But it was so funny because they brought me crossword puzzles, coloring books. Somebody brought me a Sudoku puzzle. I'm laying in my bed, strung out on morphine. And at one point, there was a painting at the edge of my bed. My wife denies this. I say it's absolutely, there were faces in the painting. And I said to Jean, why in the name of God would anyone put a painting like that at the end of a bed for a sick person? There are faces and they're moving. And they're giving me Sudoku puzzles. A little later on, Dina came. Not a clergy person, just one of my members, parish ministry associate. She's from India, deep in the spirit. And she showed up. She didn't have to. I wasn't expecting her. But she came and she held my hand. It was like being raised from the dead. It was as if Elijah had laid his hands on me. I still hurt. I was still strung out on morphine. But that breath of the Holy Spirit just filled. It's the same experience that Paul had. To be known by God in this intimate and powerful way. To take that first deep breath of love. That's the core of that gospel for today. That undeserved and unlooked for, Jesus heals the son of the widow. He didn't deserve it. He wasn't looking for it. It wasn't part of Jesus' regular routine. It happened because that's how God works in our lives with this powerful Holy Spirit. It's how we get remade as a church and as individuals and families. It's how our children grow up whole. How communities and the earth heal. We may, like Paul, be busy doing what we think is absolutely what God is calling us to do, and all of a sudden God will lead us in a new direction, breathe new air, call us out. I don't think Dina ever really knew. Of course, she's going to hear this sermon over the internet, and she will. What a difference that made for me that day. I wonder if sometimes we know what a powerful difference individually and collectively we make with the touch of the Holy Spirit that is us, with the breath of love which we breathe into each other and the world. God sends us out to be breath and life and tender hand for the world, and moves us again and again from death to life. Amen.